It's Christmas, the season of promise. You and I have been given an invitation to come and see, to come and celebrate, but most of all, to come and experience. For Christ is born, the love of God wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Holy Child of Israel, we welcome you. Infant Messiah, merciful Savior, wonderful Counselor, everlasting Father, and King forever.
He was promised, foreshadowed in days long ago. He's the hope and the glory of Israel, the one that the prophets foretold.
For this day in the city of David, Savior Christ the Lord.
And He will reign, King forever. Call on His name, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus will reign, King forever. Call on His name, sing it together. Let all the earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus will reign.
Make a highway for God in the desert. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Every valley will be exalted. Every mountain will be made low. And alone. Glory of the Lord. And He will reign, King forever. Call on His name, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus will reign, King forever. Call on His name.
Into the darkness of time, the announcement came. The angelic hymn first heard by some shepherds on a hillside would usher in the song of the ages. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the song goes on. Centuries later, the echo of the prophets is still heard in the familiar carols of the season. Even now, they invite you to come and sing along. The same God who gave words and vision to the prophet Isaiah decided the time had come, and with the simple sound of a baby's cry, the sacred invaded the secular. The infinite became finite, and the word omnipotent became flesh and dwelled among us.
Now distinguished dignitaries met this blessed Prince of Peace. Only angels watched in wonder at this baby born a king. And fallen men lie sleeping unaware this blessed day. Redeemer Christ, the Lord, has come to save. It's heaven on earth, Holy Child Divine. Heaven on earth, salvation has arrived. Love and justice meet together, truth and mercy kiss. Into our sinful world, God has come to live. It's heaven on earth. Into darkness light has entered, into chaos peace has come. With this glorious birth in Bethlehem, a new day has begun. A virgin in a manger comes, a kingdom without end. And His blood will pay the ransom for my sin. It's heaven on earth, Holy Child Divine. Heaven on earth, salvation has arrived. Love and justice meet together, truth and mercy gives. Into our sinful world, God has come to live. It's heaven on earth. When we couldn't get to You, You chose to come to fallen man. Great mystery of love, I will never understand. Love and justice meet together, truth and mercy kiss. Into our sinful world, God has come to live. It's heaven on earth, Holy Child Divine. Heaven on earth, salvation has arrived. Blessed and justice meet together, truth and mercy kiss. Into our sinful world, God has come to live. It's heaven on earth.
Sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea.
Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know?
said the shepherd boy to the mighty King. Do you know what I know? In your palace, warm, mighty King. Do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Listen to what I say.
Pray for these people everywhere.
Listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. Do you see what I see? Oh, do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know?
St. Augustine wrote that to see God is the promised goal of all our actions and the promised height of all our joys, because the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and of earth, was willing to send His only begotten Son. We have been reconciled to the Father. The door has been opened, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and full of truth.
Son of God on earth. He chose to come and dwell here with us, Emmanuel. God with us,
even as heaven and earth mingled at the manger, God was calling us to come and bring what matters most, not only our joys, but our sorrows, not only our hopes, but our fears. Emmanuel, the light of the world, has come to seek and to save, to heal and to forgive, to protect and to comfort.
Is your fear so scarred that you're bound in its shackles and hope has been erased?
Lift up your eyes, behold the great light who's born to show the way. Do not be afraid, for the Lord our God
for it.
I want to read this morning, spend just a few moments looking at a passage of Scripture that we know is part of the Christmas story, but we may not be very familiar with it. I'm going to read this morning from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Matthew 2, verse 13 to 15. You just remain seated as I read this morning. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Let's pray again for just a moment now. Father, as we have heard beautifully presented in song, we thank you for the gift of Christ. We now ask that as we contemplate part of your written word this morning, that we would see again the glory and majesty that only you possess, and we see the fulfillment of the promise of the coming Messiah. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. You know, during Christmas, we often hear, we read about Jesus being the light of the world. We do that with the Advent candles. We do that with other passages of Scripture. I read earlier a passage out of John 8 where Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Even in the Gospel of John, there are other "I am" statements where he says, "I am the bread of life," "I am the door," "I am the good shepherd," all of those metaphorical statements. But we also see in Scripture that he is called the second Adam. We understand that he is also the promised prophet. That goes all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. We see also he is the great high priest and the light of Melchizedek. We see all of these allusions in the Old Testament that point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning I want us to consider just a very particular passage here and just understand how even this seemingly insignificant portion of the Christmas story also fulfills Scripture. We're only going to scratch the surface of this, but just listen again as I read a portion here. It says that he rose, that is Joseph, and he took the child, that's the baby Jesus, and his mother Mary by night. They departed to Egypt, and he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Now, that's an Old Testament prophecy that talked about Jesus coming out of Egypt. And the prophet said, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now, if I ask you to raise your hand, how many of you, and don't do it, but I'll get an idea by the look on faces, how many would know exactly which prophet he was talking about? Probably not many of us. He's talking about the prophet Hosea. Listen to just the first verse of Hosea 11. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Now here is Hosea, and he looks back at the Exodus in the Old Testament when Moses led the people out of Egypt. But even then, as he looked back, there was also a looking forward to Christ. Because as Matthew writes in the New Testament, and he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit inspired Hosea, and he says, as Hosea looked back, he also looked forward, but he didn't really grasp it. And that should be reminiscent of many of us of the book of 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, Peter talked about the prophets wrote as they saw, but even as they wrote in the Old Testament and they looked forward to Christ, they didn't understand everything. And even Hosea, as he writes of what occurred in the past, there is a future promise. And the future promise pointed to Jesus. And as Matthew records, when Jesus came out of Egypt, he was fulfilling Scripture as it was recorded in the book of Hosea. And beloved, now all of this is amassed when you start looking at Scripture and you understand this truth. We don't often hear it in the Baptist church. I never heard it. I never understood it until I was able to begin reading much more widely in Christian history and understanding a flow of thought. But this is it. And I want you to understand something. That Jesus is the true Israel. He is the true Israel. He is the one through whom the promises that began in the Garden of Eden after the fall, and they're traced all through Scripture, they find their greatest fulfillment in Christ. I want you to hold your place here, and I want you to look at Galatians 3 just a moment. Now, I know we're going through this on Sunday evenings. I'm only going to read one verse, and we're going to eventually come to this verse. But I dare say that this is one of the most important verses when it references our understanding of salvation in all Scripture. Sadly, we don't know it very well. We don't look at it often. We love John 3:16, and John 3:16 is a glorious verse. But Galatians 3:16 is even as weighty, in my opinion, when we understand what Paul writes under the inspiration of the Spirit. And listen to what he says in Galatians 3:16. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. And to your offspring, who is Christ? Now that's important because the Galatians were being influenced by the Judaizers who were telling them, if you really want to be one of God's people, you have to become a Jew. And the Jews always said, and we looked at it last week, we see it recorded in John 8, we see Jesus continually confronting the Pharisees, and the Pharisees basically said, we're Abraham's kids, we're his descendants, we're Jewish, don't you know we're Jewish? And Jesus kept telling them, you may be Abraham's physical descendants, but you're not really Abraham's spiritual descendants. And that shows through because you don't have the faith of Abraham. You're trying to kill me. And here in Galatians 3, we see Paul saying, look, all of those promises that were given to Abraham and to his seed or to his offspring didn't refer to physical, outward ethnicity, the Jewish people, as you and I might be tempted to think, they all were directed and they're culminated in the Lord Jesus Christ, to the seed one who is Christ. Now that is very important for you and for me because we see that when we trace Abraham and then we think about Isaac, and we think about Jacob. Jacob was also known as Israel. We see these promises that come through the Old Testament. They don't come predominantly to an ethnicity. They come to Christ. And you and I are not born in Christ. We're born in Adam. Our greatest need is to no longer be identified with Adam. Instead, we need to be identified with Christ. And if we are identified with Christ, all of the promises made to Abraham find their fulfillment in Christ, and we are part of that inheritance. We're going to go on to see that in Galatians 3. We don't have the time this morning to develop it. But what I want us to understand is simply this, is that God always keeps His promises. Even here in Hosea, this significant or seemingly insignificant promise, Hosea looked backwards, but he didn't even understand the gravity and the weight as how it would point ahead to Jesus coming out of Egypt to fulfill the promise of God. Think about it this way. You remember when Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted. In a very real sense, he is mirroring Adam. Adam was in a perfect environment in the garden. He is tempted by Satan along with Eve. And in a perfect environment, they fall. And here is Jesus led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And for 40 days and nights, he is tested, but he comes through victorious. He earns righteousness in that and the rest of his life for you and for me. The choir sang about no longer being afraid and having been set free. All of these promises come to us in Christ. And that's what you and I celebrate when we think about Christmas. Jesus is the true Son of God that God brought out of Egypt. As it says here, out of Egypt I called my son. In the Old Testament, it was pointing backwards to God bringing out the Jews and Israel. But the true Israel is not found in an ethnic group. It is found in the Word become flesh. He is the true Son of God. And in the same way, Jesus is the true king in the household of David. He is the true prophet that speaks and reveals God. He is the true priest in the line of Melchizedek. As John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." All of these allusions and pictures and metaphors point only to one, and that is Jesus. And had he not come to this earth and taken on flesh, you know what we celebrate at Christmas, or what we should celebrate at Christmas, not what gifts I get, not what family time I get, not what baked goodies I get, those are blessings, but Christmas is truly about the Son of God coming to this earth, taking on flesh, living a humble life, and yet a perfect, righteous life, going to the cross, and on the cross, as the choir just sang about love and justice meeting together at the cross. That is what Christmas is, because without the incarnation, you don't have a cross. And without a cross, you don't have a death. And without a death, you don't have a burial. And without a burial, you don't have a resurrection. And without all of these, you and I don't have hope. We don't have salvation. We're left in our sin. And it's not coming to church. It's not baptism. It's not signing a membership card. It's not praying a prayer. It is about Christ becoming our sin bearer and our righteousness earner. And as we close, I just want us to consider, if Christ is the true Israel, which He is, He's all of these things, and we understand a few truths that I want to close with. One, our sin was counted against Him on the cross. The Bible says He became sin. That simply means that our sins were charged against Him. He did not become a sinner inherently. Yet God treated Him as if He committed our sin. They were counted, they were imputed, they were reckoned to Him. Just in the same way, if you and I trust Christ, then His righteousness is credited to us. It's reckoned to us. It's counted to us. That's why we don't have to fear. Beloved, it's not about you and me trying to do better. You'll never be good enough. You understand that, I hope. Your righteousness is never good enough. Can I just tell you that bluntly? Your righteousness in the sight of God is like a filthy, used menstrual cloth. Now, I know that's graphic, but that's what the Bible says. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags, and that's what filthy means. Now, I dare say if you got that sort of Christmas present on Christmas morning, you would be highly offended. And that's what it's like when we come to God and say, look what I did, look what I bring, look what I offer. God says, that's not good enough. Get it out of my sight. There's only one offering for sin that I will accept, and that is my Son, because I sent Him to be a sin offering. So our sins were counted against Him. His righteousness is counted to us. And this is the glorious part. If Christ is the true Israel, which Scripture says, then you and I in Christ are part of the true Israel, the true people of God, if we are united to Him by faith. That's glorious. That's what we looked at last week in Galatians 3. It's not about a physical act like circumcision or baptism. It is about being united to Christ, in union with Christ by faith alone. And that is our hope this Christmas, in Easter, and every day. Because every day we live is a gift of God. And not a one of us knows if tonight we'll stand before God. And if you stand before God tonight, you better be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, or you have no hope. It's only in the righteousness of Jesus. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's what Christmas is. It is about the good news of Christ. As I read earlier in that narration, it is about the infinite invading the finite. It is about eternity invading time. It is about God taking on flesh and dwelling among us. Beloved, that is the greatest gift you'll ever have in life, is the gift of salvation. Christ is our life, Christ is our hope, and Christ should be our all. And as we have the time of response, I simply ask you, do you know Christ? I'm not asking you if you're a church member. I'm not asking you if you're here, because I can see you're here, at least physically. The question I'm asking you is, do you know Christ? Have you looked to Christ to be your only hope to be reconciled to a holy God? I didn't say, have you prayed a prayer? Have you joined a church? Have you been baptized? Have you done this? Have you done that? Do you know Christ? Are you trusting Christ? Are you looking to Christ and Christ alone? If not, we offer a time of response where you can pray where you stand or where you sit. If you would like to pray at the altar, if you would like for me to pray with you, or just pray where you are, this is a time to respond to the offer of God. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, today. Do you know Christ? Let's pray together now. Our Father, we thank You so much for this truth that we've again considered this morning. And we've considered it so rapidly, but we did hear it enunciated in the music that we heard this morning, the words that we heard, the words that were narrated. Father, as we've read Scripture, as we have been confronted again with the gospel, I pray that if there is anyone here this morning that has been convicted by Your Spirit for sin, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Whatever the need is, whether it be for repentance, salvation, whatever is needed, we ask that You would accomplish it all for Your great name's sake. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.